So let's just pray.
So Lord Jesus, we just pray now that you would come and speak to us and through us. We pray, Lord, that you would bring your word alive. We thank you, Lord, that as we call upon your name, you open up the door into revelation, into what you're doing. And we just pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, Lord, but challenge us. That you'd lead us and guide us. And Lord, as we seek your face, it's always challenging because we're going to have to learn how to do it your way. And it's just so different from us. And we just want to pray, Lord, that we'd have the courage and confidence to realize that it's the best way. And so we pray that you'll keep revealing that to us now. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So if I can ask you to turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Which I'm not quite sure what page that is in the Red Bible. I'm sure someone will shout that out for me. It would be great. So that's Acts 8, verse 26. It's what? It's 1101, so that's in the Red Bible, it's 1101. And we're going to look at in a moment the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. And as I was reading this and reflecting on this passage, three things that really came to my mind as I was looking at this. In this story, it's about hearing God, it's about obeying God, and it's about the wonder of God. So we can hear God, but if we don't obey God, we miss the wonder of God. So what would our lives be like if we not only heard God's voice, but he did what he asked us to do? It'd be a completely different world, wouldn't it? What would it be like if we dared to step out in obedience to God? It'd be a very different life, wouldn't it? Have you ever wondered where you would be, what you could do, that tomorrow could be a very different day from today if we did what God has asked us to do? Have you ever wondered what your life would be like if you did what God has asked you to do? Think about it. The wonder of following the King. The wonder of doing what God has asked us to do. The wonder of preferring God's voice for our lives than the voice that has told us what we should be doing. As I always say, God's got a plan for your life and so has everybody else. What's God's plan for your life? And if you know, why aren't you doing it? And if you know, I want to encourage you in doing it. What has God called you to do? He's called us to hear, to obey, and wonder. And see, the adventure starts from obedience to the call of God. The wonder happens when you enter into it. And as a Christian, I've been a Christian quite a few years now, and it amazes me when I look back the things that I've ended up doing by following God. You never know what's going to happen next, do you? I remember I became a Christian, and I've told this story many times, but it's a long story, but I'll make it very brief. But when I met the Lord, and I was in one of those lies where I was into the old, Jim Morrison, Death and Glory, and you know, all that kind of stuff, and you know, and the Jimi Hendrix, you know, we're going to crash and burn, but we're going to go out in glory, and all that kind of stuff. And I was in that kind of lifestyle, and I was thinking, you know, and every time I was living that in that sort of place, that it kind of led me into a very, very dark place. And I remember kneeling down at the bottom of my bed one day, saying, "God, if you're real, please show yourself to me." And of course, we say those prayers, don't we? And we soon forget them. But a couple of weeks later, I was I woke up in the morning and I went to have a bath. And as I climbed into the bath, I felt these hands lowering me into the water. And I felt wave upon wave of love. And I couldn't stop crying and crying and crying. I went downstairs and told my dad. He goes, "Well, that's the Lord." And within 2 weeks of that, from the lifestyle I've been living, I was sitting on a beach in Hawaii. Hello. What had happened, because the work in the environment I'd been in, I'd been involved with sort of the drugs, whatever, and the friends I had around me. But a friend of mine heard about a course, which is a discipleship course. The only one available at that time happened to be in Hawaii, which is really annoying, because it's absolutely beautiful. And so they put the money through the door, paid for the ticket, and I ended up sitting on a beach in Hawaii, looking at the sea with the trees around me, thinking, I can't believe I'm here. But it's the wonder of God as he breaks into our lives, isn't it? It's the wonder of God what he can do in our lives. And before Kath and I came out to Ireland, I mean, it's a long story which I'm not going to go into tonight, but even coming out here is an amazing thing. Why on earth do we end up in Ireland? We never thought we were going to be in Ireland. We thought we'd be in London. But God, you never know his plans, do you? They're great plans. They're far better than my imagination. But before we came out here, I felt the Lord say to us that he wanted us to buy a house, and we had never intentioned of buying a house, whatever. And it's the kind of thing that there's no way with our resources that we'd have any chance of buying a house. We had a little bit of money, but not a lot of money. But when we came out here, we thought, well, okay, we'll come over here, and you know, we'll look into the possibility of buying a house. But when we arrived here, we first rented a place, and then thought that you just kind of go around the estate agents, knock on the door, and they'll open the house up for you. And so we went along to estate agents, and we began to look at the different houses, and we began to bid on houses, and of course the market was going, shoo. And we just had no chance whatsoever. But we kept feeling the Lord had called us, because he wanted to establish us here to buy a house. So we kind of thought, okay. So we met, my wife and I, every Wednesday, and fasted and prayed every Wednesday for 9 months, the Lord would open the door. And after a year of going around the housing market, being lots of things in our heart, thinking we're going to have this place, not having this place, going to have this place, not have this place, the word of the Lord came to me when I was reading Joshua. It says this: when the waters at its deepest, the Lord will provide a way through. And I don't know in the story of Joshua, God had asked the people to go through the river when the river was at its deepest. It was the harvest time. He didn't tell them to go through when it was the easy time. And so we came into the market here where it was like, there's just no way in the whole world that we'd ever, ever get this house. And so we prayed. And one day I got a phone call from my solicitor saying that there was a house that's come up on the market. It's been on the market twice, but it's fallen off the market because the person who was meant to be paying the money could never come up with the money. So we put in a ridiculously low offer, thinking they'd laugh us out of town, and they accepted. And so we were able to get a house. It wasn't a perfect house. We've had to renovate it. We've had to do it all up and all that sort of stuff. But you see, the word of the Lord for us is that I want you to buy a house. I'm not saying that it's the most important thing. I'm not talking about money. But we need a roof over our head. But it's just amazing how God led us through word into what God has opened his door. And so my encouragement to us today is, when you hear God's word, to obey, and then you'll wonder. And so if you turn with me now to Acts 8, and I'm going to talk about Philip, who was a man who heard God, who obeyed God, and as you see in his life, he's a man who believed in the wonder of God. The beginning of chapter 8 of Acts, the church was under huge persecution. And the church in Jerusalem, the people within the Jerusalem church had all, the persecution hit the church, and they'd all scattered. The only people left behind were the apostles. And the apostles stayed. It's also a time where Stephen, who was one of their brothers, who had been preaching the gospel faithfully, was stoned to death for standing up for Jesus. It's also a time where Saul, who later became Paul, began to persecute the church. He was calling his men to drag men and women out of their houses and to put them into prison. As the church scattered to Samaria and all those kind of places, the gospel spread, because wherever they scattered, the word of the Lord went, and they preached boldly, and many people came to know the Lord. Then it goes on to look at this story of Philip and the sorcerer, which we won't go into. But we now come up to the Philip and the Ethiopian, which is verse 26, and it says this: Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasure of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water, why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. And so the wonderful story about this, Philip was a man who was, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he said to him, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so, the simple word that Philip had was go south, on the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. The instruction was very simple. Go. The road was defined as the desert road that went from Jerusalem to Gaza. So it would have been a road that was known by the people. So Philip's response wasn't to sit back and question and to debate. His response was to go. It says this. So it's the angel of the Lord says to Philip, go south the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So what did he do? He started out. And on his way. See, it's when we step out that God steps in. He started out not knowing the outcome, but he knew the voice. If it's God speaking to you and you know who God is and what he's like, why don't we go? Or is he not like we think he is? So the key to the door of opportunity is obedience. All that Philip needed to know at that time was to get on the road. How many of us need to get on the Jesus road? He responded through obedience and not through question after question. I will step on the road when I know why. How long is the road? How long will it take? Where is it going? It was as he started out in response to the word go that God's plan was released. Go didn't change anything. On his way started everything. And as we begin to step out, God steps in. And time again, each one of us here have got stories of the way that the Lord has stepped into our lives. And as he began to start out, he was obedient to what God had asked him to do, that all began to happen. He bumped into the Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasure of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And the man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way, he was on his way as well, the other guy was on his way, sitting in this chair reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, that they came together, that God's plan was activated. See, obedience is the key to releasing God's wonder. And you see, what I've noticed in this life, there's so many things that God calls us to do that we cannot do. But He can. A good few years ago, I was living in a place called Harrow, just down from Harrow on the Hill. And I was sharing a room with my brother, who had a removal business at the time. Oh, he still does, and he's got all sorts of businesses. But I was working with him, sort of shifting furniture around and all that kind of stuff. And when we came home in the evening, we quite often got back late at night, and we used to go down to a place called the Timber Carriage, which was like a local pub. We used to go down there and play pool and all that kind of stuff. And I began to get to know quite a few people there. And one of the things that God's really put in my heart is to really share with people who Jesus is. But the problem was, I was scared. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have great faith to do it, but I believed in the Lord. I knew about Him. And so what I used to do was to sit in my room with my little guitar and worship the Lord and say, Lord, please help me do this. Please help me share the good news of Jesus. Please help me with these things that I can't do. And so I used to do this before I went out in the evening. And as I began to do this, the Lord began to open door after door after door. And the first time we went down there, and it's always often with these prayers I said before, God answers them, but you pray them and forget you've answered the prayers. And so I was praying, and so one day I got to know a guy called Colin, who was I got to know him in the, and he was going through a very, very difficult time. And as I began to share him, I told him I was a Christian. I said that I believed that Jesus had an answer to his situation. And he kind of didn't believe me, but I said to him, well, if you tell me, you know, what you're going through, I'll pray for you. Let me know what's going on during the week, and I'll pray for you every time that I know that's on, and we'll come and we'll chat about it after. And so I hadn't seen him for a while, and I went up and I bumped into him again later, and I said to Colin, you know, you had that thing the other week. I prayed for you then, and you remember that thing you had the other week? I prayed for you then. He goes, John, he goes, do you realize? He goes, on both those times, I've never felt so much peace. And I said to him, well, that's what the Lord is inviting you into the truth of who He is. Another time I walked in, there was two guys at the bar, and this sounds like one of these jokes. There's a Protestant and a Catholic guy standing at the bar debating together. And I went up there, it's quite late on, and I said to the guys who are there debating about one being Protestant, one being Catholic, I said to them, oh, you both believe in Jesus, don't you? The guy goes, what? You both believe in Jesus, don't you? He goes, this is what you both talk about, isn't it? Oh, no, I'm a Protestant. And oh, no, I'm a Catholic. And I said to him, well, the thing you have in common is Jesus, isn't it? Isn't that what you have in common? And so I just began to share with them about Jesus. And it was an absolute revelation to them. And there's a guy, as I was sitting there talking to him, I had to go because I had to get up at 5 in the morning. But I, for some reason, I'm only saying this because it's part of the story, not for anything, but I gave him a couple of quid to get himself a drink. And I walked out the door. And as I walked up the hill towards home, he ran up after me. And he said to me, John, he goes, oh, just what you're saying, you know, I've never really understood this. And so I just prayed with him on the hill before I went home. This is someone who's no good at this, by the way. I'm really not very good at this. But God is. Another time I went with my brother to watch the football. We're sitting in a place called the Trinity Bar in Harrow. And we're sitting at a table. It wasn't a particularly packed evening. But two guys came and sat on our table, and I was thinking, oh, for goodness, I want to hang out with my brother. I haven't seen my brother for ages. And I want to hang with him. But we just sat, and these kids started asking us questions. And so over the evening, we just began to share with them about Jesus. But at the end of the day, we prayed with them. All I'm saying to you here is not that I'm any good at doing this, or any of us are any good at this, but as we begin to step out into the things that we're not very good at, He's very good at it. And so the encouragement this evening is to hear, to obey, and then you see the wonder of God moving in the situations where you cannot imagine Him ever doing that. And so in this story, Philip is a person who's responded to the first question, go. He's gone on the road. He's now in the second situation where he's been told to go to the chariot and stay near it. So he stays near the chariot, and then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And so in those times, Isaiah, in the biblical times of that particular era, people would read out the word live. It would be, you'd speak it out live. You wouldn't read quietly. It's always read out loud. And so he overheard what the man was saying. And so Philip asked him, "How can I?" No, he said to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. He said, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" So Philip invited was invited up into the chariot to sit next to him. And as he sat next to him, he found out the passage in which he was reading. And it's a very well-known passage out of Isaiah. And as he began to share with him the scripture he'd read, he was beginning to be able to explain to him who Jesus was. He says, "If the eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus." And so God had provided an opportunity there, hadn't he? We had the angel of the Lord who said, "Go." He responded to the word. And as he went, the Lord began to open the opportunity. As he stepped out, as he started out on his way, the Ethiopian came along his path. He was a man who wanted to worship God. And on his way, God created that interaction together, didn't he? And again, the second key to it was he had to run or had to go next to the chariot. And as he did that, the Lord opened the opportunity up for him to share about the good news of Jesus. And as Rob was saying earlier out of the road to Emmaus, it's exactly the same situation, isn't it? People walking along a road, and Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But he had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels and said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into glory?'" And it's the wonderful thing is that it begins with the word, isn't it, in this situation. But through God's word, he reveals his truth. And through his truth, he points to his Son. And through his Son, he reveals to us the life that God has got for each one of us here. And so really, what I want to encourage really this evening is that God has called each one of us. God loves each one of us. And God has a plan for each one of us. And for some of us, we don't quite know what that is yet, but that's okay. Some of us have heard God speak to us, but when are we going to step out? Because it's when we step out that we see who Jesus really is. And as we step out, we see the power of God. As we step out, we see God change circumstances. It's an amazing thing. And each one of us here is part of that. It's great, isn't it? Like, all you guys have stepped out, haven't you? It's brilliant. I love hearing the stories. You stepped out from a life, and God stepped in. And seeing you guys here, and seeing what God's done in your lives, guys, it's wonderful. And he's so for you. Just keep on that road, because his road is the best road. It's a road that leads to life, and life into the full. And it's not always the easiest road. The other road wasn't that easy either, was it? It's a far better road, isn't it? And that's what Jesus is like. He's there for us. He's with us. And the conclusion of this, after the interaction with Philip, he explained the scripture to him. He was baptized. And the wonderful thing was in this story, he went away rejoicing because he had met the King. It's great, isn't it? It's nothing better than meeting the King, is there? So let's just take a moment just to reflect on what has been said, and just to shut our eyes maybe into and Lord, we just want to thank you that you have a plan for each one of our lives here this evening. There's not one person here who's second best. There's not one person here who's not precious, and you're burning, Lord, in your heart to share with them the glory of your Son and to open up the door of hope. And Lord, I just think that word, there's no one here who's second best. There's no second best in the kingdom of God. You're only given the best. And Lord, we want this to be a word of encouragement and not a word of condemnation, because each one of us are learning to hear your voice. And we thank you, it says in John, that the sheep know his voice. And Lord, you put it in our hearts that we can hear you. And Lord, I want to pray this evening that you'd help us to grow in the knowledge and confidence of your ways, that they're the best ways. Thank you, Lord, that your word says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. God's way, God's truth, gives us life, and life unto the full. There's no second best in the kingdom of God. You're given the very best. And I just think the word earlier, which has said that God has a plan for your life and so has everybody else. And that can be quite scary, because families and friends and are very powerful, because we trust them, we love them, and we want to sometimes please them. But actually, the priority is to do what God has called us to do. Because God's ways are the best ways. They lead us to life. And so, Lord, I want to pray this evening that you would break the power, Lord, of family and words that have defined us, that have controlled us, that have held us. And Lord, we want to welcome your word to come afresh to us, to remind us of those things you've spoken to us. Those things you've spoken to us in the quiet place. They might have been things spoken to us 20 years ago. But the Lord is saying, you've heard my voice. Now step out. And I'll step in. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to have, we're going to ask the